What's this vial?
So this is dried Bufo alvarius, which is a type of desert toad venom. It's venom squeezed from the sacs on its head and dried. So its like predominant component or psychoactive component is 5-MeO-DMT, same thing that you find in ayahuasca. So it is like, I guess, a unique psychedelic experience.
So what do you use that for?
This? Contacting higher planes of existence.
It starts with just taking that leap.
Man, you have to work hard. You have to be incredibly smart.
Choose something that even if it fails, you are going to be proud of it.
Doesn't matter how badly you got beaten down.
Be kind, be kind, be kind.
Become a better person, a better leader, the better business.
Go with your gut. I'm Samuel Donner, and this is Finding Founders.
Where did you get this?
Mexico City, baby.
In the exploration of boundary-pushing biohacking, Jacob immerses himself in unconventional self-care. From his ventures with everyday supplements like fish oil to unusual psychedelics like toad venom, Jacob is driven by curiosity and experimentation. Today, we go through his treasure trove of substances used for self-optimization, mood balancing, and just personal fun.
Okay, so this is SR-9009. It's an interesting one because it's a clock gene agonist. So like you have a set of genes that like reciprocally inhibit and promote each other along a circadian rhythm. Like it's what creates your basic 24-hour cycle is this like set of genes like inhibiting and activating each other in a rhythm. And this one pokes at one of those buttons. And so it's related to like the reverb, which is what it agonizes, the one of the clock genes, is related to like wakefulness and rousing from sleep, and it regulates like the metabolic adjustments.
So does it help you sleep and wake up easier?
Opposite. Well, so this one, like this, the negative side effect is that it reduces your sleep quality a bit, but it's very pro-metabolic. The sort of the increased energy and alertness is kind of instant, and it's like equally like physical and mental. And taking it regularly, it lasts like you develop a cumulative effect that lasts for longer.
More energy.
Yeah, it's like you think of it as your body being just like more awake across the board. Like your sleep cycles are shallower. Like when you're awake, you're more awake. Like it raises your metabolism. Like you just like you're pressing your bodily clock in the daytime direction, like across the board.
The negative side effects of sleep, if you're more alert,
is they're not that serious.
You said you do this in cycles?
So I would be careful about doing anything that fucks with the clock genes for a really long period of time because we don't understand what the consequences of that would be. But I'm experimenting with it for the same reason that like a red pill that's gotten like more and more currency lately, which is that like the artificial light environment, like the lack of natural day night is driving like a lot of the physiological things that are wrong with us, like hormonal and metabolic and so on. And so I'm like messing with these clock gene affecting compounds to try to get a handle on like what tech we have available, like biotech we have available to like fix that problem.
Okay, what's next?
Yeah. This is Sustinch tubulosa. It raises testosterone.
Okay.
It's a derivative of a Southeast Asian herb that's been used in Chinese medicine for a long time. Noticeably boosts T if you take it with like a fatty meal. And again, it's like cumulative. It's something to take like every day. This is B complex with methylfolate. So folic acid is poison for half the population. This is the real thing, is L-methylfolate. Like, tell your future pregnant wife to take methylfolate, not folic acid. This is N-acetylcysteine, recently banned and then unbanned by the FDA because people were using it as a treatment for COVID, which was a good idea. It's a high efficiency precursor to antioxidants in the body and also breaks up mucus in the lungs. It's good stuff. This is DXM, robo-tripping, if you're familiar with that term. That's what this is.
Robo-tripping? No.
Like Robitussin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, robo-tripping. So, like, I just have it because it can reset stimulant tolerance. So as you develop, like, tolerance to stuff like Adderall, like, a strong robo-trip can reset that.
How strong, like, is it, like, when you say a Robitussin trip, like, are we talking, like, lean kind of deal?
I believe this is a component in lean.
Okay.
Lean is, like, promethazine in it. They add some other shit into it, but this is like just one of the things. Strong, like DXM trips are organized into plateaus, and I think you need like a plateau 3 is like for the stim tolerance reversing effect. This is stinging nettle root. I'm taking it because I've started getting my first gray hairs, and I've read that this has some efficacy in reversing hair graying, and so I just wanted to give it a try. I'm not that vain. I don't care that much, but I'm curious whether it works. That's all.
Okay.
What is this? Tizanidine. That's a muscle relaxant for when my back spasms, like yesterday. That one, actually, I got from a doctor. Spirulina, this is a kind of algae,
right?
That detoxes heavy metals, and it can also reduce appetite. I'm taking it for the detoxing heavy metals because of stuff like this. And where's my nicotine vape? There it is. Yes, vapes, which a lot of them are tested to have a high level of heavy metals in the fluid, but I like my vapes, so I keep using them and then try to get rid of the heavy metals. Iodine, which is somewhere around here. No, that's not it. Well, I have some iodine drops somewhere. It's also good for that, as well as like raising thyroid activity. What was this though? Oh, this is an interesting one. PRL-853 is a hypermnesic, which means it increases your recall of memories.
Wow.
Right? So a lot of things that people take for memory, they increase the tendency for stuff to get written to memory. But this is about reading from memory. And so like you take this, especially like in either by itself or in combination with psychedelics, you'll have a lot of like, you know, like childhood memories come back that you maybe haven't thought of in years, if at all. Like you sort of like emotions associated with music you used to listen to are noticeably enhanced. Yeah, so that like recall of.
So when you've paired this with psychedelics, you've noticed a change.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And by itself as well. Yeah.
How often do you take that?
Once in a while. When I feel like it. Yes, when the urge takes me, basically. Yeah, that's basically that. What do we got? What's left in here? Oh, Adderall, along with the rest of that Adderall that I just found laying around in my
loose Adderall pocket.
Yep, along with the bipolar meds that I used to take but was able to get off of.
Really?
Yeah.
How were you able to get off of it?
It was a combination of like sun exposure, diet. Sun exposure and diet mostly, and exercise. But like, so bipolar is one of those things, like with respect to the clock gene, like a lot of bipolar mood disorder is affected by mutations in clock genes, of which I have several. Mm-hmm. And so you think of it as like a pathological, like fake circadian rhythm between like mania and depression or something. Mm-hmm.
But you feel like, so now you don't really have
a year and a half.
Year and a half. Wow.
Yeah.
Does it feel good to be off the meds?
Yeah, it does. It's fucking, like after, you know, the better part of a decade on them, it's dope to be able to like stay off. You have to taper off of lamotrigine, off of this stuff, like just bipolar meds in general, like you taper off slowly.
Yeah.
So like I spent months like reducing my dose. And I was getting like way more sun and, you know, exercise and so on. And so it was not particularly hard, like over that time frame, doing all of the stuff that kind of corrected things naturally.
What prompted you wanting to get off?
I had already reduced my dose, like due to taking some of this other stuff that's like, you know, less pharmaceutical. And I was having some of the same impact. And I was just thinking, I mean, it always like, I don't want to be dependent on something that I can only get like from, you know, a pharmaceutical company, to like, yeah, absolutely have to, which I really did like before a year and a half ago.
Cause like all of this stuff, like it's kind of like optional in a way, but like those you were like, you felt dependent on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like the last time before that I went off bipolar meds, I think I like was arrested twice, crashed a car and like ran up a huge amount of credit card debt inside of a month, like going off meds, you know? And so it was necessary, but like I managed, started to fix the mood issues myself and figured it was time to go off of them. Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm pretty proud of it. So like, for anybody who wants to do something similar, like I do take a stack of like more natural mood balancing stuff. That's good. So like, this is an obvious one, like fish oil. There's like omega-3 and omega-6 acids are really good for like neuronal stability of firing. Whereas magnesium glycinate, that's a good one. It's an NMDA receptor channel blocker. So again, it's going to like reduce excitotoxicity, like prevent some like manic feedback loops and the depression that follows them. Choline and inositol. inositol and also creatine. Inositol and creatine are both like really basic nutrients that have a like a statistical efficacy in treating depression similar to SSRIs.
Creatine?
Yeah, creatine has the same effect size on depression as SSRIs. But unlike SSRIs, it doesn't make you sexually dysfunctional, and like it doesn't, you can go off of it without tapering for a year. Like, you know.
Creatine?
Like, creatine.
Like the stuff like muscle growth.
Yeah, but it also, but like your neurons use creatine too in their cell membranes.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy. I'm going to move the creatine over to this side.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about the choline and inositol. This thing on top of it, that's vitamin D. It is a shit ton of vitamin D in a tiny vial. So you inject this.
So that, the packaging doesn't look like US based.
This was made in India.
Where does one get an Indian vial of vitamin D?
Oh, you order online.
Order online.
Yeah, a lot of like the gray market online pharmacy stuff is like is Indian manufactured products.
What is the gray market?
It's just like, okay, so like stuff like Silk Road, that's like dark market, right? So you have to access it via Tor. They sell things like guns and crack, right? And then you've got like obviously, you know, buy your magnesium on Amazon. That's like white market. Gray is in between. It's like pharmacies that, you know, they're like pseudo legal. Like they advertise everything as like not for human consumption. It's just a research pharmacy, et cetera. Like they will go down and then open up under a new brand name on a regular basis. Like what products they can and can't sell is on the basis of like how Chinese law enforcement feels this year, you know, but it's like, it's, you're not going to get busted for ordering from them, but they may get busted for operating.
Ah, I see.
That's, yeah, that's roughly the gray market.
Okay. What is there an example of a gray market site that you trust?
Right. So for peptides, there are some that are pretty durable, that are really good. Like Peptide Sciences is great. Superhuman Store. That's a good example of like kind of
Superhuman
gray market.
Store? Okay.
Yeah, it has like the right kind of like janky website, but amazing inventory that like characterizes gray market pharmacy.
Superhuman Store. Okay.
Yes, really good stuff. I need to make an order actually. What else? We've got, this is a growth hormone secretagogue, epamorelin. So this isn't like, it's
did,
not growth
did you
hormone.
Get that at the same, did you get that at the same gray market kind of store?
I got this at from Peptide Sciences, yeah, okay. Which is a similar, you know, outlet, also for peptides. So this causes your pituitary to like make and secrete more of its own growth hormone. Okay. So it's just like, it's a, I think it's a better alternative to like exogenous, like artificial growth hormone.
Like HGH?
Yeah.
Okay. And what effect have you noticed from that? How often do you take that?
So you do it in cycles. I did some cycles this summer, like in like June through August. And yeah, I mean, it definitely improved the rate at which I was gaining muscle from working out. My sleep effect is really nice. You sleep a lot better. I had people tell me that my skin is a lot better, which fits, HGH or like growth hormone, improves skin and hair. What else have I got here? So this one is this was like a more of an impulse purchase in Mexico. It is a not so safe, like epamorelin. Great. Ostarine is like an actual SARM, a selective androgen receptor modulator. So it's kind of like, it's like it has the same risks as steroids, but more mild. I've only taken it a couple of times. It made me like really like overheated, like sort of like physiologically. I think of it as physiologically manic because I'm adopting a metaphor from bipolar, but you know what I mean? Like I was just like sweating. So I haven't really tried it again.
Why do you still have it?
I'm not going to throw it away. I'm a little bit of a hoarder, okay? When it comes, like, I mean, you never know when what you really need is, like, a mild anabolic steroid. Like, I mean, what if I have a muscular dystrophy friend?
Oh, yeah, it made me sweat. I thought I was going to die.
Okay, a lot of people get good results out of it, okay? I didn't say I thought I was going to die.
All right, what next?
Compound 7P. So this is good for like post-stroke recovery or also like recovering some of the damage from long-term alcoholism, that kind of thing. So it just like promotes axonal and dendritic growth. So I've just been experimenting with that, like regrowing hippocampal neurons.
Any noticeable effects?
Everything I've read suggests that the effect is fairly subtle. And if you want to discern it, like you need to be paying systematic attention, which I haven't yet.
And really quick, so all of this stuff, you traveled on a plane with?
Oh yeah, baby. The toad venom, the mushroom chocolate bar, the loose Adderall I didn't even know was in my fucking bag, the 2CB, which is another hallucinogen.
What's 2CB?
It's a phenethylamine hallucinogen.
Where do you get that?
This was when my friend and I were asked to procure large volumes of drugs for a conference in El Salvador. And so we stopped through Mexico City and ordered from like the greatest drug dealer menu on earth, including this. This, I think, is a mix of acid that we got in Argentina. Oh, wait, no, that's Cialis, actually.
What's Cialis?
Everyone, it's like a Viagra, but longer lasting. But it's also like a kind of nootropic and performance and athletic performance enhancer.
Do like professional sports people ever use it?
I believe it's tested for. Yeah, I think it's on the anti-doping list. Yeah, so it's not just for erections. This is like peptides. Like,
what's a peptide?
Like a protein fragment, okay. Basically. Yeah. Wherever it went, the epimorelin, right? So that stuff. Yeah, yeah. So if you look inside of there, right, that's not a liquid. There's just like a cake of powder at the bottom of the vial. So you have to add this stuff to it and reconstitute like this basically like freeze-dried protein fragment so that you can inject it. And that's what the reconstitution solution is.
So this is injectable.
Yeah, this is like, it's just a generic, you add it to like any freeze-dried peptide or something in
and
order
so
to make it injectable.
And so do you have needles that you travel with too?
I got the needles right here. Here we go. Insulin needles. These are for subcutaneous, right? Not intramuscular or intravenous.
What's the difference? Yeah.
So sub-Q is like you're just injecting it like into or under like the layer of fat at the surface of your skin. Whereas intramuscular is like you're sending the needle into the muscle and injecting it into the muscle. It is also ironically, you know, of the things that are like harder to get in the US than other places, like needles is right there with drugs. Like in Mexico, I can just go and buy the kind of needle that I want from the pharmacy.
But you couldn't buy these needles in America.
No, it's a huge pain in the ass. Like pharmacies will give you like one insulin needle, like for by law for like diabetics who are having
Why
a crisis.
That?
Drug war. Yeah. We're just like FDA, like, you know, moral panic kind of stuff. What else? Let's see, we've got, uridine monophosphate, that's an interesting one.
What does that do?
So it's just, you know, like RNA is like the same as DNA, but it has a couple of letters swapped. And one of them is like, it has a U when DNA doesn't have a U. That U is for uridine. So it's like a component of RNA, and it's a really important nutrient in your brain.
What will it do?
So like people use it as a nootropic for like improving mood control and memory and so on.
Is that in your kind of like bipolar stack?
Well, so it's an interesting one because it turns out I have a genetic mutation that causes hypouricemia. So I have like a congenital deficiency in uridine. And the effects of this are thyroid problems. Check, I have those. Gout, I had my first attack shortly before figuring out.
What's gout?
It's like uric acid crystals accumulate in your joints, especially like toe and finger joints, and you'll have like attacks of pain and stiffness in them. What was there? And bipolar depression associated with uridine deficiency. And also the only significant human food source of it, because normally we just make it from protein, or like we salvage it from like protein synthesis processes. And so we don't really need it in the diet, but like if you do need it because you're deficient in it, the only thing to get it from is beer. And so like I thought I was just an alcoholic for a really long time. And like, I mean, I did have like some degree of alcoholism, but like what I didn't realize was that I was also physically addicted to something else in beer because I was deficient in uridine, which you can only get in the diet from brewer's yeast.
So like, is it possible that your body was telling you that you needed beer to survive?
Well, not to survive necessarily, but to prevent like brain fog, depression, that kind of thing, right? Like, I mean, I had physical cravings for beer and I just never put two and two together that like, I didn't drink enough like alcohol to get physical cravings, right? Like I didn't get delirium tremens from withdrawal or anything, but it was a physical craving for beer like late in the day. And this was why. Wow. Because I didn't have enough uridine, and that's what I was like associating it with. So that was a huge win for like team biohacking and like, you know, getting your...
Well, that's what I guess like the experimentation is all about. It's like not all of this stuff will work, but like every once in a while you find something that is like life-changing.
Yeah, absolutely. And like all of the experimenting, like, you know, it encourages you to do research and learn as well, like learn how biochemical pathways in the brain work and everything. And like the more you learn about it, like, you know, the more often you figure out things like this. What else? Nicotine patches. I love nicotine, but I can't smoke anymore. I had some family die of lung cancer. So I've just switched over to the patches.
And is nicotine, like, is nicotine actually like bad for you? Or like what is the effects of nicotine?
So, I mean, nicotine is a nootropic, right? Like it improves cognition. It is like good for you in a variety of ways. They're like in and of itself. One of the ways that it is not good for you is atherosclerosis, which is like artery hardening. But that's like, it's not a special mechanism of artery hardening. It's just sort of downstream of like the cardiovascular effects of nicotine directly. And so like, if you do cardio, it's going to counteract like that effect of nicotine as well. But like,
and then for like stuff like popcorn lung, is that a concern at all?
No, that was like the popcorn lung thing was coming from vape manufacturers who used oil as a base for the vape juice. And so like, if it's incompletely burned and some of those oils like get into your lungs and then become like infected, like a source of food for bacteria, that's how you end up with the popcorn lung thing. But like glycerin based, like vape juice formulations, like not an issue.
Cool.
Yeah. So this is an accidental purchase actually, because it's like Protectus. What I intended to buy was Gastrus from BioGaia, which is a patented probiotic that increases oxytocin production. So you might've heard of that as like the attachment hormone or like, yeah, the bonding hormone. But it's also, it promotes neurogenesis. It upregulates BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic
factor.
How
often do you take that?
This is like, these are an everyday, all of their stuff is an everyday thing.
We're halfway through the gauntlet, maybe a little more.
Copper. Good, I'm hoping that the copper will remove like the permanent circles under my eyes. Like,
what does that do?
Copper, it's good for liver function. And like circles under your eyes, oddly enough, are related to liver issues. Yeah, they're not always, but like persistent ones can be alleviated by improving like your liver's nutrient availability.
And so would that be related to alcohol consumption as well?
It predates that. I've had circles under my eyes since I was a kid. Copper in general is like, so like copper levels in soil and in vegetables have gone down 70% since the 1950s from like monocrop agriculture. Wow. So like all of your, you know, like your percent, like, and also the percent daily value stuff for food has not been updated since that time. So like when you see, you know, your kale package says that you're getting like 50% of your daily copper, like you should revise in your mind down to 10%.
Wow.
Basically. Yeah. So that's true to different degrees for basically all minerals, like zinc, copper, iron, all of that is at half or less the level that it was 50 years ago.
What's
so,
this?
So like take that. Poppers. they're not just for sex. It's also just, it's just fun. Here, look. Could do like a slight
pop.
This is pretty degraded, I can tell, actually. I've had it for a while, because it... Oh, there we go, though. So, where were we? Okay, so this is SR9011. So, like, similar to this thing. Like, this is another version, clock gene agonist. So I've been trying both of them, looking for differences between them, like how they affect that clock gene activation. Boron, this is another one that's, like, has declining levels in soil and in vegetables and so on. And like the FDA does not see it as an essential nutrient, but it is like, it's definitely essential in plants and many animals. And it has beneficial effects on inflammation, arthritis, hangovers, actually reducing severity of hangovers if you supplement it regularly, and can raise T levels as well. So there's like plenty of evidence that it is an important nutrient for you. It's just that we don't understand well enough how for the government to have acknowledged that, but it's one that you're definitely not getting enough of, and definitely, I think, is an essential supplement.
This is spirulina.
Yep, more spirulina.
It's this guy.
More spirulina. That's just ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen.
This is lion's mane powder. So lion's mane is a mushroom. It's an adaptogen. It has a lot of beneficial effects, neuroprotective, antioxidant, neurogenerative. This is another part of the like no bipolar meds right. stack is the lion's mane for sure. What else have we got here? DHEA is a hormone that also acts as a neurotransmitter. And a lot of people tend to have low levels of it. It's like one of the pieces of the endocrine disruption that's really common in our environment in the modern world. It's like DHEA and pregnenolone are two that are safe to take, like orally. You're not going to like disrupt your production of them naturally by taking it. And it tends to improve like cognition. And I do notice like energy and cognition effects from taking it. This is a new one that I just bought it. I've not tried it before, but berberine and alpha lipoic acid, which is what this is combined with, activate AMPK, which is kind of a master metabolic regulator in the body that deals with like cell repair, genetic repair, recovery from like exercise and growth. And so it upregulates all of those activities. This is my emergency stash of the like bipolar meds. If I ever am like, oh shit, I need to go back on them because I'm going off the rails. Yeah. But that has not happened, but I have them anyway. Potassium. This is like the electrolyte that you need to supplement the least unless you're like taking something that strips it away, which is why I bought this. As I was taking clenbuterol, which depletes potassium. Right. But in general, your potassium levels are more self-regulating than like sodium or other electrolytes. This is also Advil. This is more spirulina. So this is SAMe, which is important. It's naturally found in your body and regulates hormones and rebuilds cell membranes. Externally supplementing it can help with liver health, hormonal health, anxiety and depression, osteoarthritis pain. This is again, I saw it at a store that I was buying the same place that I saw the berberine on the shelf and was like, oh, I haven't tried that. Let's see if it does anything. I guess you can dissolve this in a drink. Fancy. This is a fluoride-free toothpaste. The fluoridated water people are not insane. We have all been giving them short shrift for 50 years. Like those hippies were right. Like if you look into the research, the correlation between fluoride levels in water and childhood IQ is frightening.
Really?
The fact that we fluoridate water all over the U.S., but there is a strong correlation between wow. fluoride levels and a negative correlation between fluoride levels and childhood cognitive performance.
So I should stop drinking the tap water.
I would avoid it. Yeah. You can get filters that remove fluorine, but they're expensive. And yeah, I'd just avoid it probably.
And fluoride toothpaste.
Yeah, the fluoride toothpaste, like, it's a little marginal because if you're not swallowing it, like, the amount that's actually getting into your bloodstream is probably extremely minimal, but, like, it also can't hurt, like, to avoid, I think. We've got collagen, which, you know, I mean, like, everybody knows about it for, like, skin, hair, and so on, but it's also really important for joint health. So this is like the reason this one looks more crooked is like that's as straight as it gets. I fell and like spiral fractured these fingers a few years ago. And so like in a you know bid to prevent arthritis in these crooked joints, basically I take collagen. Yeah. And then we've got glycine. So this is like an essential amino acid, especially in your brain. It's good for sleep. It can give you fairly visionary type dreams. But it's extremely important for like regulation of neurotransmission. The combination of this stuff, like N-acetylcysteine, like the antioxidant that I mentioned before, and glycine, this combination has shown a ton of effectiveness with older adults in reversing cognitive decline and preventing dementia. Like so much so that it has like, they call it GlyNAC, like therapy. And it hasn't really like spread to being super common in the US, but the research shows that like this is the thing to get your 70-year-old parents on, like for cognitive reasons.
That's kind of like the stack, your plane stack that you bring with you yeah. everywhere. This is your travel stack. But there's one that we kind of haven't covered because you already have been injected with it. Can you talk about the experimental gene therapy that you got injected with?
Yeah, follistatin. So that's a good way of putting it, because there's like a few of these things that I really wish I could make in the same way. But so the gene mod, so follistatin is a hormone that like everybody makes anyway. It's a natural part of the endocrine system. But there is now a patch of fat cells on my side that do not normally make follistatin, but now they do. They've got plasmids hanging out in the nucleus that code for that hormone. And so I have super physiological levels of follistatin. It's a myostatin antagonist. So you ever seen those pictures of like the like grotesquely muscled pit bulls or cows or whatever?
Yeah.
They have no myostatin. Their myostatin gene has been knocked out. This antagonizes my myostatin receptors. And so it has like a limited version of the same effect. And it also upregulates like gene repair.
So you've taken this follistatin gene therapy, you got injected. What made you comfortable enough to get injected?
Well, like one thing is that like follistatin has like 30 years of super physiological like use in primates with like no adverse events ever reported. It's a natural hormone. So this is not like a radical gene therapy, like in terms of like risk profile. But I mean, like for me personally, like, I mean, I've wanted to get genetically modified since I was a little kid. Like, no, I mean, literally,
I had a dream.
When I was like 5 years old, I decided I wanted to be a genetic engineer so that I could like experiment on myself and other people. So if I could tell 13-year-old me that I had gotten like a gene therapy in a charter city, his little head would explode. He would
You're feeding
so
your
excited.
Inner child.
I mean, basically, yeah. So as soon as I heard that like this clinical trial was an option, and like spent 2 hours looking at the follistatin research, I was like, yes, sign me the fuck up.
So what happened after? What did you notice?
So I stopped getting sore after working out ever, like basically. Now it is like my recovery time from any workout is like has dropped to zero, basically. I need about an hour less sleep per night, something like that, I would say, on average. Just like across under any circumstances, really. And I recover faster from basically any kind of insult, like getting sick, like hangover, plane travel, like whatever. My sort of like healing rate and like baseline robustness is higher. And then over the past year, like I've gone from 31% body fat to 19% body fat. Which like that's not all just the gene mod, because obviously we've got all of this shit and so on.
Yeah, but like all of this.
But I feel like the follistatin, it really by upping that baseline and your responsiveness to exercise and to dieting and so on, it creates like a positive feedback spiral where it's like, you know, it's easier for you to work out, so you work out more, so you get stronger, so it gets easier to work out, like. And just sort of like all of these things work better with like that follistatin improved baseline.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is really dope.
Exciting territory we're in.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, rate the podcast 5 stars, and share with a friend. If you have any questions or comments, DM us at Finding Founders Podcast on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. Finding Founders is produced and hosted by me, Samuel Donner.
Our audio editing team lead is Ashley Jimenez, with support from
Jessica Morales, Miley Lipton,
Siyu Pan,
Kenny Ray,
Josie Yeo,
Matt Fernandez,
and Merritt Hill.
Our outreach and research team lead is Desiree Nunez, with support from
Marissa Granados,
Monica Lee,
Sarah Tiersma,
and Yao Liu.
To see more of what we're up to, subscribe to our newsletter at findingfounders.co. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week.